look at a study that want to look at a word study. When one does a word study looking at the term sanctify and sanctified, we find that 46 times in the Old Testament the word sanctified is employed. And 64 times the word sanctify is employed for a total of 110 times used in the Old Testament, either as sanctified or sanctify in those regards. The words sanctify or sanctified, they're a primary root verb meaning an action, making something or someone to be holy, to be set apart, to be consecrated. It carries a meaning in the causative sense, to make. It causes to make, to pronounce, or observe as clean, either ceremonially or morally. These words are used in some form or another to represent being set apart for the work of God as used in Scripture in the Old Testament. Other words translated and used synonymously are to hallow, to dedicate, to make holy, and to consecrate. We find in the Old Testament a record of items and people that were often sanctified or hallowed or consecrated in being set apart for the service to God or for His service. If you would turn to Exodus, the 29th chapter, we find one of the items that was sanctified or set apart for God's service is the altar. And that is in Exodus chapter 29, verses 36 and 37. And He said, "Thou shalt offer every day a bullock for a sin offering for atonement, and thou shalt cleanse the altar when thou hast made an atonement for it, and thou shalt anoint it to sanctify it. 7 days thou shalt make an atonement for the altar and sanctify it. And it shall be an altar most holy. Whatsoever toucheth the altar shall be holy." Not only was the altar sanctified, but also the items that were used in the tabernacle we find that were sanctified or set apart for the service to God. When you look in the same chapter of Exodus 30 in verses 25 through 29, we find here that the various items were used. "Thou shalt make it," in verse 25, "an oil of a holy ointment, an ointment compound after the art of the apothecary. It shall be a holy anointing oil. And thou shalt anoint the tabernacle of the congregation therewith, and the ark of the testimony, and the table, and all his vessels, and the candlestick, and all his vessels, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering with all his vessels, and the laver and his foot. And thou shalt sanctify them, that they may be most holy. Whatsoever toucheth them shall be holy." When you look at the 40th chapter of Exodus, in verses 9 through 11, "And thou shalt take the anointing oil, and anoint the tabernacle, and all that is therein, and shalt hallow it, and all the vessels thereof, and it shall be most holy. And thou shalt anoint the altar of the burnt offering and all his vessels, and sanctify the altar, and it shall be an altar most holy. And thou shalt anoint the laver and his foot, and sanctify it." Then when you also look at the concept in Numbers, the 7th chapter, in verse 1, "And it came to pass on the day that Moses had fully set up the tabernacle and had anointed it and sanctified it and all the instruments thereof, both the altar and all the vessels thereof, and hath anointed them and sanctified them." And this is what Moses did. He set them apart. He sanctified them so that they were set for the Lord's use. When you look back at Exodus chapter 30, not only the items that we saw, but also the anointing oil that was used was also a special part and was set apart. The 31st verse starting in Exodus chapter 30, "And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, This shall be a holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generations. Upon man's flesh shall it not be poured, neither shall ye make any other like it after the composition of it. It is holy, and it shall be holy unto you. Whosoever compoundeth any like it, and whosoever putteth any of it upon a stranger, shall even be cut off from his people." Lord said this anointing oil was not to be like a common oil that other people used. This one was special. And it was to be treated as special and only for the service to the Lord. And therefore it was not common. When you go on and look in this 30th chapter, verses 34 through 38, we see not only the anointing oil, but also the incense. And the Lord said to Moses, take unto these sweet spices, stach and onycha and jenabum, these sweet spices with pure frankincense, each shall be there a like weight. And thou shalt make it a perfume, a confection after the art of the apothecary, tempered together, pure and holy. And thou shalt beat some of it very small, and put it before the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation, where I will meet with you. It shall be unto you most holy. And as for the perfume which thou shalt make, you shall not make to yourselves according to the composition thereof. It shall be unto thee holy for the Lord. Whosoever shall make like unto that to smell thereto shall even be cut off from among his people. So even these items that was used in the Lord's service were meant to be separate and apart just for the service of God and not to be common. When you look at the Exodus, the 13th chapter, after they had been delivered from bondage, even the firstborn of man and beast was sanctified or set to be holy. In Exodus, the 13th chapter, in verses 1 and 2, and the Lord told Moses, saying, sanctify unto me all the firstborn whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast. It is mine. And the reason it became his was because the judgment that was executed upon the firstborn throughout all of Egypt in the death angel. The firstborn was destroyed there if it wasn't covered with the blood. And therefore God said, the firstborn now from here on out is mine. Now it didn't mean that it had to be sacrificed unto God, because God didn't agree with that. You can't sacrifice a human being. But in being the firstborn that was all to be sanctified or set apart to him, they could be bought. They could be redeemed with the money. And with the money then, therefore, it was given to the sanctuary, to the priest, and they were redeemed. So the firstborn of man or beast was to be set apart. In the very beginning of time, along with this, in Genesis, the second chapter, verses 2 and 3 in the creation, in Genesis, the second chapter, in verses 2 and 3, and on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which he had created and made. And then when you look at over in Exodus, the 20th chapter, in the commandment that was given to the people in the 20th chapter in Exodus, starting to verse 8, God said, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, nor thy son, thy daughter, thy manservant, maidservant, nor the cattle, nor the stranger that is within the gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the seventh day, and he hallowed it. It was set apart. Now that was specific to the children of Israel, not to us today, and not to the Gentiles, but to the children of Israel. It was set apart. It was sanctified. Not only that, but we can also see in Scripture, in Numbers, the 6th chapter, where with a person taking a Nazarite vow, that he was separating himself to God for a time. And here was the concept of someone that was taking a particular time in their life to set apart to be to God's service. In Numbers, the 6th chapter, verses 1 and 2, starting. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when either man or woman shall separate themselves to a vow of a Nazarite, to separate themselves unto the Lord. He said, here's the certain things that they had to do. And he goes down through there, and we'll look at just a moment. So here they're setting themselves apart in their life to the service of the Lord. And verse 12, and he shall consecrate unto the Lord the days of his separation, and shall bring a lamb of the first year for a trespass offering. But the days that were before shall be lost, because his separation was defiled. So here was a set time that a person said, I want to devote myself to the Lord. And in that, in devoting, he placed himself under certain restrictions. When you look in verses 3 through 8, he shall separate himself from wine, from strong drink, and shall drink no vinegar of wine or vinegar of strong drink. Neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, nor eat most grapes or dried. All the days of his separation shall he eat nothing that is made of the vine tree, from the kernels even to the husk. All the days of the vow of his separation there shall no razor come upon his head until the days be fulfilled in which he separated himself unto the Lord. He shall be holy and shall let the locks of the hair of his head grow. All the days that he separated himself unto the Lord, he shall come to no dead body. He shall not make himself unclean for his father, for his mother, brother, sister, when they die, because the consecration of his God is upon his head. All the days of his separation, he is holy unto the Lord. He has separated himself apart. He has sanctified himself, that this is the work that I'm going to do for God. And in doing that, I'm placing myself under certain restrictions. We also see in regards to people, Aaron and his sons in the office as priest in Exodus chapter 30, in verse 30. In Exodus chapter 30 and verse 30. And thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons, Lord speaking, and consecrate them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And then when you look at chapter 40 of Exodus, verses 12 through 15. And thou shalt bring Aaron and his sons into the door of the tabernacle of the congregation and wash them with water. And thou shalt put upon Aaron the holy garments and anoint him and sanctify him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt bring his sons and clothe them with coats, and thou shalt anoint them as thou hast anointed their father, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. For their anointing shall surely be an everlasting priesthood throughout their generation. You see the point here as far as the priest. Notice two things that was particular into it. They were anointed. They were sanctified. And that they were going to minister in the priest's office. And he said, bring them and wash them with water. And we already read earlier in the scripture reading that with this water in Exodus 30, verses 17 through 21, that it was a continual washing so that they could be cleansed, that they may be able to come before God in the duties that they had. Blood and water was used to consecrate or hallow things in the Old Testament time. We find in the 29th chapter of Exodus, verses 19 through 21, and thou shalt take the other ram, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands upon the head of the ram. And thou shalt kill the ram, and take of his blood, and put it upon the tip of the right ear of Aaron, and upon the tip of the right ear of his sons, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of their right foot, and sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about. And thou shalt take of the blood that is upon the altar, and upon the anointing oil, and sprinkle it upon Aaron, and upon his garments, and upon his sons, and upon the garments of his sons with him. And he shall be hallowed, and his garments and his sons, and his sons' garments with him. Again, this separating, this sanctifying of them into the priest's office. But not only was it things that they had to do, but we find in the 29th chapter also here, that with God's glory, he also sanctified the tabernacle and the priests who were there to minister unto him. When you look in the 29th chapter there of Exodus, it's verses 43 and 44. We see, and there I will meet with the children of Israel, God said, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. And I will sanctify the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. I will also sanctify also both Aaron and his sons to minister to me in the priest's office. We can see from the Old Testament, we can see there that there were things that God did and things that man did for this sanctification to take place. It is the Father's will that we should be set apart for the work that he has for us to do. It's always been that way for man. The Father sent, he anointed his Son Jesus to be the instrument in sanctifying us in cleansing us, in consecrating us, and hallowing us for the Father's use in service to Him. When you turn to Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Hebrews, the 10th chapter. In verse 9, we have recorded here, "Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will, God's will, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once. And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Verse 14, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." We are sanctified through Jesus Christ. It's through him that we can be sanctified and we can be set apart for his service. The blood of Jesus, when applied to us, hallows us, or it consecrates us. In Hebrews, the 13th chapter, in verse 12, it's recorded there, "Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate." Just as a person placed himself under the Nazarite vow to separate himself to God and placing themselves under certain restrictions, we also have a part as Christians in this process of sanctification. When we choose to become a Christian, we go through the same process. There's a washing of water. There's a washing of blood. We have all of that. And we can see that in this Old Testament system that God set up, it was a tutor, it was a schoolmaster to bring them to Christ. And in the work that they saw being done, in the sanctification, setting apart, all of this was accomplished in Christ. Paul quotes what Jesus told him concerning his work when you look at Acts, the 26th chapter. Acts, the 26th chapter, starting at verse 15. "And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, of these things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." We see that sanctification begins with belief or faith in Jesus being the Christ. If we don't believe that, then there's no way we can start down that path of sanctification. Jesus was the anointed one. He was the one that was promised to come. He fulfilled all that the Old Testament prophets had to say about the one that would be anointed to accomplish this. The one that would be able to hallow us, to consecrate us apart for God's use. Then there must be a cleansing or a washing. That sanctification begins in Jesus as the Christ. When you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the concept there says, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2, in talking about the saints there, Paul called the saints as being sanctified in Jesus Christ. It begins in Christ. And the Hebrew writer declares in Hebrews 10:10 that we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once. And again in verse 14, by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 29, we find that we are sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's through his blood. Chapter 10 and verse 29. "How much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall be he thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace." We are sanctified. We are set apart by the blood of Jesus. In Ephesians, the 5th chapter, and verse 26, when Christ is there talking about the church and the members and the husband and the wife, he said, "Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word." Jesus might sanctify and cleanse it. In baptism, in immersion, we can be as those of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, whom Paul said, "But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." In this process, we can become sanctified. We can become set apart. Different from the Nazarite vow, which was for a certain time, when we become a child of God, we set ourselves apart and place ourselves under certain restrictions for a lifetime. And we set apart ourselves for the service to God for a lifetime. And in that, we have to be sanctified, we have to be hallowed, we have to be consecrated. Our sins can be forgiven through immersion, our past sins, and therefore we would stand before God pure, justified, pure and holy, not common. And then when we live our life, we're not common either. We're going to be different. But the thing we must remember is becoming a Christian is the first step to a lifetime of sanctification. It cannot be accomplished any other way. Doesn't matter how you live. Doesn't matter if you try to live a good moral life. Doesn't matter if you're this or that or whatever, how you want to accomplish. Becoming a Christian, a child of God, immersion through baptism, is the first step to a lifetime of sanctification. And it takes a lifetime. You have that opportunity this evening to be able to do that if you wish. Jesus came, he died upon the cross so you could be reconciled unto the Father, that in that you could be set apart and sanctified and have that home in heaven when this life is over. You have that opportunity this evening. Please think upon that, and if you wish to make that choice, let it be known while we stand, while we sing.